Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light. We're going to be at Mulligan's coming up this Thursday night on the network, and hopefully you can come out and join us. Kind of our pre-Christmas party down there. 6 to 8 this Thursday night. Join me. We're going to have a cast of characters down there, giving away a lot of stuff as well. And it's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We have had him on before. It's always a pleasure to get a chance to talk to him. Super Bowl winning head coach, part of the NFL Network. Brian Billick joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great this afternoon.
I want to start out by the question that we're all asking around here, and that is Aaron Rodgers lobbied to come back. He plays, didn't play great, and now they've got two games that we don't want to call them meaningless, but they're not really for the postseason. As a head coach, how do you approach this when you know your franchise is resting on the shoulder of Aaron Rodgers, who's not 100% yet?
Yeah, I'm not sure why you would play Aaron Rodgers, just from the standpoint of the risk. Obviously, he's medically cleared. You all dealt with that last week in terms of, is he ready, is he not, should he or shouldn't he? And once you're medically cleared, then it's up to the, you know, and that's assuming the player says, yes, I can play. And the coach then says, yes, I think you can function, which he did, you know, not at the level that we have come to expect from Aaron Rodgers, probably an unrealistic expectation in terms of what someone coming back in his situation could have really done. But I just see no upside in playing him further the rest of the year when obviously the playoffs are out of reach.
People around here, we have some former players. Gary Ellerson works with me, Leroy Butler. We've talked to a couple of guys, Donald Driver last night. They said, hey, nobody in that locker room is bigger than the others the way guys feel it. But when you're talking about a special player that you know is a Hall of Fame player like Aaron Rodgers, guys in that locker room wouldn't blame him if he didn't play, would they or would they?
No, they wouldn't. You know, I go back to Jimmy Johnson's quote when he talked about working with his Cowboys and all the successful teams, and he said, look, I'm going to treat you all fairly, but I'm not going to treat you all the same. In other words, you're not going to treat a rookie the same way you do a 12, 13, 14-year veteran. Mm-hmm. During the course of the season, you're going to give a veteran extra days off and time off compared to a rookie, because that's just the fact of the matter in terms of taking care of your older players. Well, you talked about a franchise quarterback, has a lot of playing left. If it were the type of injury where there would be absolutely no chance of further damage, and you wanted to play him just to kind of finish out the string, and he wanted to play because he's a competitor, I get that. But this shoulder will be better a month from now, him not continuing to play, than it will be if he plays regardless. So why would you risk that?
The other aspect of all of this is changes in the offseason. Dom Capers said yesterday that, well, his defense hasn't panned out the way he had hoped it would have here in Green Bay. It almost sounded as if he thought maybe his tenure was coming to an end. How do you evaluate coaches under you when things, I mean, statistically things haven't worked here over the last few years for Dom Capers? How do you evaluate that as a head coach? Is it situationally, or how would you look at this?
Well, you got to look outside the numbers, and you know better than anybody. You have to look at, are we progressing? Have we performed up to our abilities, given the fact that there have been injuries? And every organization, particularly when you've been together as long as Mike McCarthy and that group in Green Bay is, there's been some natural changes in attrition offensively because of guys who've gone on to become head coaches. That brings new blood in. That brings a little bit of different perspective. Obviously, there's going to be a consistency as long as Mike is there. Defensively, you could ask the same question. Sometimes you do just need to make change for the sake of change. I don't know if that's the case now in Green Bay. Dom Capers is an outstanding coach. But that's a decision the organization and Mike McCarthy are going to have to make, whether it is just time to make a change just to get a new perspective.
So if I guess how much do you put into personnel? Because that's always the hardest thing is, do you have the guys to play what it is you're trying to do as well, right?
Well, it's like I said, yeah, you have to evaluate how do we perform given our personnel. You can't just make an arbitrary, well, here's a line in the sand and we need to produce this level. Well, what was the injury? I mean, you could look at the offense. What was the expectation for the offense for the 6 or 7 weeks that Aaron Rodgers was gone? And to look at the performances against a team like the Ravens and the Steelers and the Panthers when Aaron Rodgers, or I shouldn't say the Panthers prior to that, you know, is it realistic to say, well, no, we got to make some change offensively, even though we didn't have Aaron Rodgers, our starting quarterback, and we're playing a guy that didn't have a lot of experience. Well, we still should have beaten the Ravens and beaten the Steelers. Well, that's unrealistic. So you've got to look at, okay, no one knows better than the organization of Mike McCarthy what those injuries were on defense. So what are your expectations given the fact that the group that you're dealing with was not your frontline group?
You had mentioned injuries. Can you recall a year in which we have seen so many devastating injuries?
Well, and I'm sure those that want to quantify it can go back and say yes or no. It always feels like it, particularly when you're talking about the quarterback position. We lost an Aaron Rodgers. We lost a Carson Wentz. We've lost a Deshaun Watson, who looked like a brilliant up-and-coming. Sam Bradford, even though Case Keenum has filled in admirably since that. Yeah, typically when you look at the loss at the quarterback position, that's when you tend to have the hue and cry of, oh, my God, we're getting beat up. Whether player for player, lost time a starter for lost time a starter across the league, I'm sure someone keeps those numbers and will tell you, my guess is they're probably about the same as we've had over the last few years.
Coach, to kind of go off the field, we just saw the Carolina Panthers, and then obviously their owner is now stepping away. The league has got some issues, not only on the field but off the field, that they have to deal with this offseason. Is this, with all the attention being paid to the NFL, sometimes they say good, any attention is good attention. Is this good for the NFL?
Well, yeah, from the perspective you're talking about, we are talking about the NFL. It's still the most popular sport, but I will say this. And there's been ebbs and flows in terms of people that are predicting the demise of the National Football League. I remember a book, a staple of my library years and years ago in the early 70s, talking about the demise of the NFL and why and all the things we're talking about. It was called The League, The Rise and Decline of the NFL. And in very great detail put together why football was going to fade. And that was written, I think, in 1971 or 72. So yeah, there's going to be ebbs and flows, and the league obviously is dealing with a number of issues, whether it be with the concussion protocol and all that goes with that, the new collective bargaining, how much football can we have? Is there a saturation point? Doesn't seem like there is because it keeps growing. Obviously the on the field slash off the field of the players, whether it's taking a knee, whether it's the domestic violence. But I will say this, even though that comes and goes and it seems to survive, I do a great deal of traveling. I travel to L.A. every week to do my shows for the NFL Network. Obviously, around it, keep a pulse because of the show of what's going on around the league. When you get out and amongst the fans, whether it's here in the Mid-Atlantic for Ravens and Redskins and Eagle fans, or when I get on the road and fans approach me from all over the country, the league has got a problem. It really does. There are a lot of fans that are turned off at a number of different levels, not the least of which was the protesting of the players and the way the league handled it, that it's very, very real. And the fact that the games are more enjoyable to watch at home and online than at the stadiums themselves, we're at a bit of a crossroads for the NFL that maybe we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, we don't feel it here necessarily with a 70,000-plus waiting list to get right. Season tickets for Green Bay, but you can see it around the rest of the NFL. By the way, we're talking with Brian Billick, Super Bowl-winning head coach and NFL Network analyst. We've seen him for X-Tech pads here on this program numerous times. I got to ask you, back to the game itself, we saw a butt touchdown this weekend, and we saw a touchdown we thought was a touchdown, and it wasn't a touchdown in the Pittsburgh and New England game. Does the league still have to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to define exactly what the hell a catch is?
Yeah, and I've joked about it before. I may have on your show. After doing this for 45 years, there's two things that I don't know. There's lots I do know and hard to quantify, but there's two things I will readily admit I do not know. I do not know what the league is looking for when it comes to a head coach, and I have no idea what a catch is. None whatsoever. With regards to the Pittsburgh play, and I think Tony Dungy summed it up very, very well, because we can go through the mechanics and what they're trying to do to make it more consistent and so that there's that bright line about what a catch is and isn't. But the comment that Tony Dungy, and Tony's obviously very understated in the way he approaches it sometimes, but said, only in the National Football League, on any other football field in the world, Pop Warner, JV, junior high, high school, certainly in the college game, the Pittsburgh catch was a catch and a touchdown. Only in the NFL is it not. And even though there's been a great deal talking about it, I'm doing radio shows today, that's all anybody wants to talk about. Yes, the league has put it out there. Within the league rules, clearly that was not a catch. That's a problem for me.
Yeah.
Because is that the way we want it? Is that what we want called for the reasons we wanted it called? I think the lawyers have gotten too involved in terms of bringing definition to it. It was supposed to simplify it for the officials. Let's remember the officials on the field all ruled it was a catch and touchdown. So, yeah, and then it'll be talked about in the offseason, the competition committee and the ownership about, okay, is this really the way we – yeah, certainly in New England they're going to say, no, the rule's fine. But in Pittsburgh and a lot of other areas, I think we've over-regulated like we have in our in society maybe to a degree where we need to go back and look and say, look, have we lost common sense in terms of what is a score and what is not?
Yep, no doubt. Hey, are you going to be in Minneapolis with us again this year?
Sure will. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too.
Going back to my own old grounds. It should be great fun. Cold, so where you know, of course, you all are used to it.
Yes.
But should be good. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Coach. We will talk to you either in Minneapolis or sooner than that. So thanks for taking a couple of minutes with us, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Brian Billick, Super Bowl winning head coach, part of the NFL Network. And he, too, can't figure out exactly what the heck a catch is. The league has a lot of explaining to do this offseason. Man, they got to figure some things out. When we come back, there's Tony, Chris, Dave, and a cast of thousands all on hold. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. And this portion of the program brought to you by Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state, beyond the borders, the low-T treatments. Look, they have a 98% success rate in treating guys with ED, okay? This time of year, you don't be letting anybody down, especially your partner. So get that checked out. The low T, if you've got mental clarity needs, if you've got you're looking for more energy, better mood, that more stability, better sleep at night, feeling more refreshed and rested during the day, that's the way to go. And God knows, we're sitting here right now in studio. Bell Ambulance dropped off cannolis today. Perkins dropped off breakfast today. We got so much food around here, I could literally end up with a case of tank ash by the end of the week. So if you're going to start the all-in-one weight loss program, Neumel Medical, call them. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. Because probably, like, if you're like me at the end of this year, you're going to need it. Okay? Get back into the health and fitness thing. Call them. 414-455-4451. Tony, Chris, Dave, and a cast of thousands. You're next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Every Tuesday is Bucks Tuesday. Yes! The players, the new arena, and everything about this exciting new 50th season. Hear the all-access conversation every Bucks Tuesday at 12:35 on The Bill Michaels Show.
The Bill Michaels Huddle back onto the road again this Thursday night. Mulligans on South 27th Street in Franklin. Join me, my guest, the Bud Girls. A little holiday spirit. Come on out, 6 to 8 this Thursday night. All brought to you by Bud Light, and it's right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I'm Malcolm Brogdon. Catch the Milwaukee Bucks postgame show after every Bucks game here on The Fan.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are, as always, so glad that you are here. Thanks for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. If a line becomes available, that's the way to get a hold of us. We are brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, top-tier alternative fuels, no-fee ATMs. They have a terrific Karuba coffee bar. They have a terrific, bakery, the quickery in there, as they call it. They've got hot foods, cold foods. They've got fountain drinks, coffees. I mean, you name it, they've got it. Plus, they've got the buy one, get one right now on the Packers tumblers, the 24-ounce tumblers inside there. So stop into your local Quick Trip and make it a part of your day just like I do. Let's go back to the phone calls. Talk to Tony listening to us in Greendale. Tony, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hi, Bill. Great show.
Thank you.
A couple of things that I was thinking of, like on defense, people being out of position. Aren't these guys studying?
You would assume, yeah.
If you don't get it during practice, and it's so complicated, like everyone says with Don Capers' defense, study. Very, very simple to me. You would study so you know this stuff upwards, backwards, upside down, everything. Because half the problem with this team that I saw on Sunday is they were so out of position. A lot of these guys were wide open because two guys covering the same guy. You got to know where you're supposed to be. Okay.
Right.
If you don't, I don't care how good you are. And then also on offense, I think the Packers really found a couple of diamonds in the rough here in these running backs. Okay.
Yep.
And
if they use them. I mean, even when you've got an injured quarterback, you abandon the run game.
Exactly. They can't abandon the run game. They got to be smart about this, and they could really have a real good juggernaut on offense just because of the two running backs they have. And these guys are special. They're guys we haven't had in years in Green Bay. Okay.
I'm anxious to see what they do in year two.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see also. We got, and then you got to address the pass rush, too. You got to get some guys to rush the passer because I don't care how good. You can have two Deion Sanders back there. If you don't have a pass rush, he's going to get burnt. You cannot hold an NFL receiver off for more than a few seconds, 4 or 5 seconds. Really, anybody's going to get open if they're worth their value.
Right. Right.
So,
no, I agree.
And everybody wants Capers gone. Fire him. Fire that. Fire him. Well, maybe these position coaches don't start these guys if they don't know what they're doing. If you don't know, there's been times when the Packers didn't put players on the field because they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know the plays.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're supposed to be. If I'm a world-classer and you're a half a step slower than me, on my speed, on everything I do, you should start ahead of me if I don't know what the heck I'm doing, because if I don't know where I'm supposed to be, I'm not worth anything anyway.
Completely agree. The problem is, and appreciate the phone call here, but the problem is, and take a listen just for a second, you've got Demaryius Randle, who has emerged over the last 6 weeks, and you believe that he is turning a corner. Okay? He's not big, but you believe he's turning a corner. Devon House has been banged up, and he hasn't been what you'd hoped he would be. Okay? Kevin King is down. He's done. His season is over. So that leaves you with Donatello Brown, Josh Hawkins, Dimitri Goodson, who had missed most of the season, was on the IR, and Lindsey Pipkins. So you have got a street free agent, and Dimitri Goodson, who was a sixth-round draft choice a couple of years ago. That's your secondary. So out of necessity, you have to play certain guys. You can't just start sitting guys who don't get it. But that's what you're relying upon. Street free agent, undrafted guys, and Dimitri Goodson, a sixth-round draft choice. Once you get past Demaryius Randle. Now, you can say all you want that, Dom Capers' message falls on deaf ears. But that has a lot to do. You circle that group right there and you say that has a lot to do with personnel. That is directly on Ted Thompson. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Chris listening to us in Brookfield. Chris, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Boy, you sure do make what I want to say so much easier. Ted Thompson. The question really is, does Mark Murphy or the board of directors have the cojones to pull a Bob Harlan and say, you're done? Find a GM soon so that he might be able to evaluate the final couple weeks of this season, just like Harlan did with Ron Wolf, and then let him evaluate and take matters from there. Because Ted Thompson He's lost a step, as they like to say, for everybody who plays the game. He hasn't gotten nothing but street free agents, like you just said. And I think his time is done. With any messages getting old, it's Ted Thompson's of make filet mignon with ground chuck. And it can't be done in the NFL, and he seriously has to go. The captain of the ship has got to go. It's time to find out if Mark Murphy's just a glorified PR man to make Green Bay a new Disneyland of the North, or if he's actually got some cojones to say, wait a minute, without a good football team, we're going to start losing revenue on the other side of the ball. And I'm just going to listen to see what you guys
say.
So
appreciate it. Okay, as far as Mark Murphy goes, his job is to govern the team in all aspects. When people talk about the Disney World of the North and say, look, if he's making money, that's his job. I do not fault him for that. Because let's be honest, if he's not making money and this team struggles, they're coming back to the taxpayers or the team's going to move. They don't want it to move. They never want it to move. But let's be honest, teams that have been entrenched in cities for years and years and years and have legacies in those cities have moved because of money. So if he makes money, more power to him. More power to him. You need to make money in the NFL. I don't begrudge any owner for making millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. If you're doing it right, go make money. And the Packers have been doing it right. That's first and foremost. Secondly, when you talk about going and finding a GM, if that's the direction in which you want to go, my question then becomes, are you looking outside or are you believing that Elliott Wolf's the guy? Because remember, when there was a lot of talk about, well, this would be the year that maybe Ted steps down or what have you, and if people are clamoring for Elliott Wolf, now it seems like nobody wants anything to do with anything inside 1265, that it's all outside searches. So have you changed your mind in that area? And again, I think Ted, if Ted wants to stay, Ted's staying. I don't think they're going to change that area. I think you're going to see a distinct change defensively speaking. I do. I think even Dom Capers with his presser yesterday today kind of knows it. But I would be shocked if Mike McCarthy went anywhere. Mike McCarthy has been, in many circumstances, when this team was supposed to get beat and didn't have a shot in many view, they came out and won ballgames, specifically in the postseason, he's not going anywhere. He's going to get a pass. If this happens again next year, not so much. But I'm not throwing a baby out with the bathwater. I don't think you need wholesale changes over this organization right now. I think what you need is significant voices that are going to be heard. But whether that's Ted Thompson or whether that's Dom Capers, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, I think there's a good combination between the two that is to blame for this wretched defense over the last few years. 855-830-8648. Dave is listening to us in New York City. Dave, how you doing, man? What's going on?
David, well, you know, we have the best quarterback probably ever played, and the window is closing fast because he's 34 years of age. And some people say that it's Ted Thompson, and other people say that it's Dom Capers. And as you just said, it's most likely a combination of the two. Ted Thompson has certainly left a step with the defensive picks in particular, with Dayton Jones and Kyrie Thornton, and you go down the list and it's bust after bust. But I also believe that part of it is a failure to coach and develop players. I'm not convinced that all of them were destined to be busts. And the caller two calls ago talked about how players aren't in position. Mm-hmm. It's a pattern. That goes to coaching. And
correct.
So I don't know who the scouts are for Ted Thompson. I don't know if they have defensive scouts and offensive scouts. If that's so, the people who are scouting for defensive players need to go and bring someone else in. If that's the problem, because Ted Thompson does make good picks on the offense in particular,
right,
and he has a few good defensive picks as well, but something needs to be done about the scouting and drafting, but then also the coaching and development, because Rodgers is 34 years of age. The only thing I want to say is I believe there's something wrong with the medical staff and conditioning because – you know, yeah, injuries happen a year, okay. But when it's year after year after year, it's a pattern. Something needs to change. And Mark Murphy shouldn't just be making money. We have the best quarterback in NFL history, and we only have one Super Bowl championship to show for it. And these people are fleecing us, taking money, and they're wasting this opportunity. And when Rodgers is gone, there's going to be a 20- or 30-year drought, and we may not see it again. And the Patriots are winning six Super Bowl teams that are not as good as us. They don't have the tradition. They don't have the history. They have ugly uniforms. Their fans are fair-weather fans. All of that, all of it is being wasted. And we, the fans, are being betrayed.
Well, so, Dave, I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for venting, okay? Dave feels very strongly. I want to get back into this coming up here in just a little bit because he feels very strongly. And again, that's a passion call. I get it. That's a passion call. Their job is to put a product on the field that you want to pay to see, and their job is to market their product that you want to pay for. That's their job. Your passion plays into that. That's their job. They have been a contender in many aspects every year. They're always mentioned in the realm of going deep into the postseason and winning a Super Bowl. You cannot fault the Green Bay Packers for that. As far as wasting it and only getting one Super Bowl, 2014, they had the personnel, they had the players, and the players blew it. Mike McCarthy took his foot off the gas offensively in that third quarter, and players made mistake after mistake after mistake, and that was their fault. No, nobody else's fault. That was the guys, that was the bros and the Joes, as they say. Okay? That was their fault. They had that. An NFC championship game in Seattle, they should have won. So we should be sitting here today talking about two. That's not Mike McCarthy's fault. That's not management's fault. That's a player's fault. I watched them there make mistake after mistake after mistake. They knew it, and they screwed the pooch. That's their fault. So there should be two. So for fans that say, I can't believe Ted Thompson hasn't done more, don't you dare fault him for that, because they would have went on and won a Super Bowl. I firmly believe that. But they screwed that in Seattle. So let's just be clear on that. As far as fleecing the fans, I don't think anybody's being fleeced. I think that they're out just like everybody else to make money. You know what you're buying. You're buying a team that's a certain level of competition. Every year we talk about the holes that need to be filled. Every year you see them draft, you see them develop, you see them do certain things, to whether it's in minority free agency or something around the league with street free agents, to try to bolster those positions, and you know what you're buying into. Just because you spend your money on a ticket doesn't guarantee that you are owed a Super Bowl. You're not owed anything. And when it comes to the Patriots, let's be honest, Bill Belichick is the modern-day Vince Lombardi. That's like saying, well, we need to find another Reggie White. Reggie White ain't walking through that door. It ain't happening. There is no other Reggie White. Bill Belichick does it a certain way. People have put it this way. If Bill Belichick was that damn successful and everybody could just emulate it, then why have all his coaches, Romeo Crennel and his offensive coordinator who's gone out, went to Denver and came back, all these guys have gone out and sucked as head coaches. They haven't been able to mimic what he does. Only Bill Belichick gets out of those guys what he gets out of them. That's it. Nobody else has. 855-830-8648. Real quick, I want to get to KJ in West Dallas. I know I'm late, but I'm going to get to KJ. He's been a hold a while. KJ, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, pretty good, man. Hey, listen, to me, it's not the scheme. It's not Dom Capers. You know, it's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and Joes.
Right.
You know, it's the guys that they have on the defense. It's not rocket science. I mean, you look over at the other guy and you say, you know, the field is split in half. You got one guy on the other side, one guy on the right side, one guy on the left side. I got that guy, you got that. You know, it's not that hard, Bill. It's just the personnel.
Oh, it is if you're playing the secondary for the Green Bay Packers.
Well, yeah, I get that. You know, I get that part. But I'm going to give you a suppositional deal here, because I'm good at that conjecture. Let's say that we know that Rodgers threw three interceptions and he didn't play well. Let's say that they won that game, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're going into this next game on Saturday, and they still have something to play for. Would you play Aaron Rodgers then?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because he would have.
You know that he's beat up, and you know that his arm's sore.
Because a 70% because a 70% Aaron Rodgers looks so much better than a 100% Brett Hundley.
So you would take the risk of hurting him going forward for
if,
next year.
If there's something to play for, yes. Okay. If there's nothing
all
to
right,
play
that's
for,
all I
then
need
no.
To know.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it, man. He drops off. KJ, you the man. Let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll get his brain. That is Ebo, co-host of the Joe and Ebo Show on 96.7 FM and 1670 AM, The Zone out in Madison. He joins us next on The Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you, as always. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. And this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. They fixed me up, got me back in the game. They can do the same for you if you got something orthopedically going on. They may be able to get you home in as quick as a day. That's it. 24 hours. Bam. You're home. Call them 855-MC-ORTHO. That's 855-MC-ORTHO. And take the next step into getting health and wellness and just feeling better, getting rid of the pain. Do like I did. Call 855-MC-ORTHO. That's Marshfield Clinic Health System, the official healthcare provider of yours truly. Bringing me now, the co-host of the Joe and Ebo Show, Ebo on 96.7 FM at 1670 AM, The Zone out in Madison. Ebo, how you been, buddy?
Bill, somber times this week, my friend, but I've been good. It's a pleasure to join your fine radio program. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, I guess, about as well as can be expected. I think a lot of us went to bed last night just before the Atlanta Falcons won that ballgame, holding out hope, and then we woke up this morning with a completely dashed, which is what we kind of figured. But would you play Aaron Rodgers this weekend?
That's the question, right? But before I get to that, Bill, I was the biggest Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan last night when the damn ref fell down in the hurry up, and then they missed a field goal. I went to bed with a bad taste in my mouth, and I woke up, and I thought to myself, I want to see Aaron Rodgers play. I really do.
Yeah.
But, you know, logically, I would be very, very surprised that the man's out there. But selfishly, I mean, Lambeau hasn't seen Rodgers in forever. What, the end of September? Hundley is just not that great at Lambeau Field for some reason, and it's a chance to stick it to the Vikings on that home field advantage. I would love to see him play, but realistically, he ain't playing.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play either. Now, when we talk about the postseason, what are you changing?
Oh, wow.
If anything.
Here's the thing that I don't know if I'm going to be surprised or not surprised. I would be not surprised that nothing happens, and I'd also be surprised if it was just, you know, Mike McCarthy stays, Ted Thompson stays, and Dom Capers gets his walking papers. To me, it's time to move on from Dom Capers. I'm a big fan of Mike McCarthy. I'm the head of PR in the Mike McCarthy fan club, Bill. Ted, he's whatever. I don't mind what he's doing from time to time. I'll go back, you know, preseason when he was signing those free agents, we were all excited about what he was doing, what he was bringing into the team, and Martellus Bennett and, you know, Jari Evans and so on and so forth. But to me, Dom Capers, how he is still around, boggles the mind.
It's an enigma in the sense of, How many players still look around as if they don't know where they're supposed to be?
And that's the question. I mean, why has Dom been around so long? Is it Mike McCarthy so loyal to the guy and he doesn't believe in the players that Ted Thompson brings in? Is that why he's here? I struggle with that question because, you know, Demarius Randle, I like Demarius Randle. Blake Martinez, he's a beast. Clay Matthews at times has shown it. But outside of that, I'm just kind of scratching my head of what's going on. And some of these players just, I don't think they get it. Like, street free agents are out there. I don't know if they understand what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I just kind of went over. I said, when you start to look and you're relying on the street free agents this team has, a la Lindsey Pipkins and company, you're kind of saying, okay, does that mean the talent you've drafted just isn't worth anything? And I appreciate the fact if you draft someone and you recognize that they're not that good, you can cut them loose. I get it. But on the other hand, if you're drafting and continuously going with street free agents over some of the guys that you're picking, it doesn't say much about your scout, draft, and develop, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. It just, like I said, it boggles the mind. And there needs to be a breath of fresh air in this Packers organization. And I think it's got to come at the defensive coordinator. It's got to be Dom. Something needs to change because, 2010 is a long time ago, my friend. And what was the Packers defense then? Were they top 10, I think? They're just an opportunistic defense.
That was just it. They weren't great, but they were a team that just thrived on turnovers.
Yeah, it's time for a breath of fresh air, and I think that starts with the defensive coordinator. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But it surprised me if they stuck with him. Yes and no. I mean, I think McCarthy and those guys are loyal to a fault. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but loyal to a fault is what I call it.
Yeah. No, I've always said the organization moves like an iceberg. You know, very slow, very methodical. They think about it a long time before they make any rash decisions. I completely agree with that. But at some point, I keep going back to what Mike McCarthy said 2 years ago when he let some of these assistant coaches go. He said, hey, sometimes you just need a different voice. And I think we're at that point, defensively speaking, you just need a different voice.
Yeah, and yeah, I remember Mike McCarthy saying something interesting, too. He's like, after he fired some assistants or whatever, he said, eventually, I've run out of guys to fire. So at what point do you got to take a hard look at the mirror, put on a little Michael Jackson man in the mirror, and reevaluate yourself? I don't know, man. It's to me, Dom Capers, the time is, he's done. He's got to be gone. Breath of fresh air. Let's do it.
I want to switch over for a minute to the Badgers before I let you go. Badgers in the Orange Bowl. Everybody's excited about this because of the season that they had. I know it's disappointing after getting beat up by Ohio State in that Big Ten title game. But what is the mood now in Madison regarding the Badgers moving forward?
Oh, we're very excited. Orange Bowl, that is a great get. Miami's going to be a hell of a game. Badgers are favored. You know, I like to put some bets down from time to time, Bill. I already put my bet down on the Badgers to get this thing done. And we had one of the committee members from the Orange Bowl on our show, and he was talking about they're going to treat Miami like an away team. They're not going to get their locker room. They're going to have to stay in hotels. So that's, you know, nice for the Badgers. We're very excited. And it's a lot better than last year when tickets were going for like less than a price of beer. At least when people can get up for this one, and it's going to be a quality, great game. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm really looking. First of all, I love the matchup. Even though it's not a national title type of game, I love the matchup because this is another good test to find out exactly where your program is. The one question mark going into next year is the same question mark we had going into this season. Will there be an open competition at the quarterback position, and will they really truly allow the best man to win?
Oh, that is a good question, isn't it? I've been Alex Hornibrook's supporter for a long time.
But you shouldn't be. You need to end that. You need to stop it. You're a masochist. You need to quit.
Bill, I'm telling you, I had the hashtag honk if you're Hornibrook, but I disengaged my horn. I don't think I can do it anymore. I don't know what happens. Hornibrook's going to be your guy for a while. I mean, unless Jack Cohn can step up, but I think as many Badger fans are hating on Joel Stave, you're going to do the same kind of thing with Hornibrook. Everyone's calling Stave 2.0.
I don't know if I'd even go that far at this point. You know what? Because Stave, every now and then, he would make a bad decision, but for the most part, it was more just the physical inability. Hornibrook just makes bad decisions.
Yeah, it's like I said earlier, it boggles the mind. Hey, let me ask you one thing, Bill. 2008, to go back to the Packers.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, it's his first season as a starting quarterback. This is when they missed the playoffs. First season starting quarterback. Brett Favre's on the Jets. The Lions go 0-16. What were you doing in 2008, Bill?
I was rooting for the Lions to go 0-16. Clay Matthews was still at USC, by the way. Clinton Dix was still playing high school football, if you saw some of that today. All the things, what were you doing then? I was saying, you know, hey, I could see the turn in this team. Give them time. I was defending Mike McCarthy, defending Aaron Rodgers, and pointing out the same exact thing that we thought at the time. The defense sucks.
Yeah, that a boy. I was defending them, too. At that time, I saw the Packers, you know, trending up. Right now, I feel like they're trending down. And that's why I'm saying a breath of fresh air needs to happen. And to tell you a little history lesson about myself, what I was doing in 2008, I was at house parties singing Flo Rida and T-Pain's Shorty Got Them Apple Bottom Jeans and Boots with the Fur, Bill.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing.
I don't, you know what? That's one of my workout songs when I'm on the bike in the summertime. So I'm with you.
Who doesn't love some apple bottom jeans and boots with the fur? Come on.
There you go. There is nothing wrong with that. And that's always a good tune, especially if you got a lady alongside.
Exactly. Hey, I want to wish you and your lovely fiance happy holidays, my friend.
Tell your wife we said hi because she's a beauty and you're just hanging on for dear life.
That's right, baby. That's right.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
see you, pal. There you go. That's our buddy Ebo, the co-host of the Joe and Ebo Show out there at 96.7 FM and 1670 AM, The Zone out in Madison. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years have been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. Every meeting, every new beginning, every celebration, they make it better. That's Cousin Subs. It's better, more than just a word to them. It's a promise. And whether it's customizable party boxes, two-foot party subs, individual boxes for lunches, meetings, whatever it is you got going on, tailgates, parties at the house, sales meetings in your office, whatever. They can please any crowd, whatever the occasion. Go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Coming up today at 2. How close are the Bucks to the top of the East? It's a Milwaukee Bucks Tuesday, and we're going to find out tonight when the Cavs come to town. Also, our weekly visits from Bob McGinn at 3:48 and David Bakhtiari at 4:35.
It's the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. A lot of people chiming in today. Thanks to Dave, who says, I think it's Ted Thompson, not Dom Capers. He says, by the way, did you find anybody to plow the driveway in Franklin? I've got two friends that do it in that area. Not sure if they go all the way up to Franklin, though. They're in Racine. Now, you know what? No, surprisingly, haven't got anybody in the Franklin area to say, hey, we do some snowplow service. So, again, if you do, down in Franklin, Wisconsin, if you know where that's at, just south of Milwaukee, give me a shout. Give us a buzz here. Still looking for a snowplow driver because we know it's coming. Let's see here. This one, this is an interesting out of the Cheesehead TV. And I want to talk about this because the author, Corey Jennerjohn, says he would not sign Davante Adams. Would let him go. Three concussions in 2 years. Can't shell out over $11 million a season to another receiver only to see him nurse a concussion. He goes on to say that with in today's NFL, the defensive backs are at a tremendous disadvantage, which puts a premium on pressuring the quarterback. And don't forget, Cam Newton kept clean 77% of his dropbacks. Or last month when Ben Roethlisberger was only under pressure, 9 of his 49 dropbacks. In October, Dak Prescott faced pressure on only 8 of his 40 dropbacks. By the way, the statistics brought to you by our friends at Aproyo, APPROYO.com. They are implementing SAP and big data solutions to companies just like yours. They get it done. Check them out on the web at APPROYO.com, APPROYO.com. But when you consider the number of dropbacks quarterbacks have had, with really and truly the lack of pressure that this team has been able to create on a consistent basis, it's scary. And we every year we go into the postseason and we say, okay, this is the year that they have to find a legitimate pass rush. And every year we're saying, this is the year they have to find a legitimate pass rush. It hasn't been legitimate for a long time. I want to get into this discussion, though, about signing Davante Adams and bringing him back. Because I think it's something that was in the back of my mind, but it really hasn't been brought to the forefront until now. I want to get into that discussion. Also, Frank and Eric and a cast of thousands all on hold. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.